What is good, everybody? Welcome to another Gold Standard podcast. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera from Parts Unknown. That's Levin Black joining me from the road. And we'll get into the injuries the 49ers had today. We'll get into the predictions for this year that we're going to talk about. But Levin, before we get into all that, word on the street is there may be a face-to-face broadcast coming up this week.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to be face-to-face with you.
That's right. Not only are we going to be face-to-face, you are going to be in my home on Saturday. We're going to do a show, you and me, in my house, in the Gold Standard studio. You'll see it in all its splendor. And by splendor, I mean basementness. But you're going to be here.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to keep that a secret in like a surprise show. I thought maybe I would do, you know, the whole like slide in from the side intro.
Collinsworth style.
Yeah. But I guess secret's out now.
Secret is out. That is going to be happening. I'm very excited. I'll make sure to keep a respectful distance from you when I see you again, so you don't have to worry about that. But that will be happening live show on Saturday. Looking forward to that. Now, what I'm not looking forward to, Levin, is this conversation we're about to have, and that is the continued absences from 49ers practice by literally 20% of the roster. Nick Bosa, soreness. Greenlaw, soreness. Oso Digizua, soreness. Carver Willis has a concussion. Jacob Cowing has a hip flexor. Kyle Juszczyk broke a finger, and he's not even the first 49er to break a bone this year. Brett Toth has something, and we lost Sam Okwuonu and Nick Sakel today during practice as well.
It's, not good. It's more of the same. I know that the positive spin to it is, oh, there isn't any big ones that like really affect the team as of now. In terms of, you know, major players being out, starters being out long term. But I do remember kind of saying that last year, and then all of a sudden it turned a week or two later and it started being big names.
And Pearsall obviously is one that we're
That's an injury from last year.
Yeah, that's true. But and yeah, like Bosa soreness, Greenlaw soreness, that's probably more a maintenance day than anything else. And we don't have to freak out about every injury, but once again, Levin, for another year, we're in a situation where they may have to cancel at least one joint practice because they don't have the human beings to do it.
Yeah, it's to the point of, I don't know what it is, but it's something they're doing because it's too consistent. And that's kind of what my family's take was this week when they saw the headline about it. It's like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if it's practice habits, training regimen, or what, but something is happening that's causing this because this is too consistent for too long for it to not be. And I even pointed out, yeah, they've changed the training stuff. They've changed practice habits, supposedly, just a couple years ago, and yet it's still happening. So I think it's probably a combination of a lot of things. Targeting the wrong type of people, practice habits, maybe going too hard, too fast, too much full speed stuff, something along those lines. It has to be.
And they tried to change the practice schedule this year. They're not doing three practices in a row anymore. They've added to the hydro staff. They've added to the training staff. They're trying some stuff, but whatever stuff that they are consistently doing seems to be a bit of a problem. And people are asking in the chat, did they work some people out? Yes, they did. Keon Smith, guard, Braden Daniels, guard, Ryan Massesso, he's a tackle. Christian Wilkerson, wide receiver. Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver. And Kadarrell Hodge, wide receiver. They ultimately did sign Kadarrell Hodge. I mean, we always talk about, you know, how John Lynch has a list in his office of, you know, if somebody gets hurt, free agents to call. He's already a good ways down that list.
Yeah, it's not a good start to things. Hopefully, things take a turn here in the week for the better, where all these pain maintenance type of things kind of go away and suddenly it's, oh, six or seven people are out.
Right. Which is still too much for my blood, but certainly more manageable. Kevin Dennis, thank you for the super chat, says, so glad you guys came on at this time. Stuck at the airport, delayed flight, bored out of my mind. Do we think it's possible the Niners actually overdiagnose injuries as opposed to other teams? I mean, they may be more sensitive to it now, Kevin, and glad we could keep you company, but I don't know. It just, if it was just a 1 year issue, maybe, but like the fact that we've seen this happen to them again and again and again, we all feel like, oh no, here we go again.
Yeah. I mean, the practice tells the story. They're not practicing. So it's not just them reporting something and then they practice through it like you might see during the regular season. And this is also a team that has a long track record of underreporting, of saying, eh, this is minor. And yeah, then it ends up being a big deal. Remember Brock Purdy's injury? It was reported as something very minor, and then he missed a few games, and they were like, oh, it was more serious than we thought. Comes back for a single game, and then misses almost half a season after that. So this is not a team that I think can be trusted, but it can't be trusted because it lies about injuries in a bad way rather than over-diagnosing.
It either lies or they just get the diagnosis wrong, but I don't know which one is worse, quite frankly. But we do appreciate the super chat. Thank you, Kevin. Glad we could stick around. We don't know how long Levin's internet is going to hold out since he's on the road right now, but we're going to gut our way through it here. And one of the things that we thought we would do today, because yes, the injuries are a thing that we need to talk about, but they are kind of a bummer. So what we decided to do is talk about, we'll do a draft of things that we are certain are going to happen for the 49ers this year, and we're going to remove injuries from it since that has already occurred, and that would be not a prediction at this point. It would just be a statement of fact. So we're going to take injuries out. We're going to do a draft of things that will definitely occur for the 49ers this year. I will give you the first pick, Levin. What is your number one most confident thing you are sure will happen for the 49ers, and why am I going to hate it?
I don't think you're going to hate it. My number one most confident thing is that the defense will do better this year than last year. They kind of have to. They were terrible last year. I know they finished. If you look at just like the two main statistics, maybe you could see some room for a reason to doubt, because they were 20th in yards per game and they were 13th in points allowed per game. So not horrendous bad on those two things, but in terms of points allowed per drive and yards allowed per drive, they were 25th or worse on those. So like it's one of those things that they don't get as many drives because the offense doesn't punt very much. So they keep the ball and they have longer drives. That's kind of a Shanahan thing. So there's less opportunities for them to give up yards and points. That doesn't mean that they're good. So I think that they're going to be considerably better than last year, but for sure, definitely confident that they will be better.
So you didn't go as far as I did. I went further than you, but I'm not going to use this as one of my official ones since you took it and we are doing a draft. But what I had written down was I think they could have a top five defense this year. I am probably buying in too much to the things I'm hearing from the Niners secondary, but I'm like stunned that to a man, every single person they talk to in the secondary, Lenore, Stout, Jair Brown, every single person is like, Raheem is awesome. This is the perfect scheme. We're doing way better. And maybe I'm just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid and that could be it. But I think that number one, just on their own, I think the secondary will be better this year. Plus, you add what we think is going to be a much improved pass rush, which will obviously help any secondary. And then number three is just Fred Warner. That was the third reason I had in my note, just literally Fred Warner being back in the defense. I really do think they could have a top five defense this year. So I was a little more homerish than you, but we're definitely seeing the same thing on that one.
I will say it's interesting how things have kind of flipped in terms of monetary structure for this team. That was one of the things when I was scrolling through the Warren Sharp preview for the season that surprised me. The team is going from being less than average in cost on offense to being the fifth most expensive offense in the league. Mm-hmm. And the defense this year is 20th most expensive, and that is heavily inflated because the linebackers, they're number two because of Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw. They have one of the most expensive linebackers, followed by a decently expensive vet. So they're very expensive at linebacker, but they're in the bottom 20 at all the other positions, defensive line, cornerback, and safeties is how they broke it down. So this is a defense overall, all four position groups, they're 20th most expensive defense. So getting something that is top 10, I think, is a win. You're not spending as much as you have been on defense. Meanwhile, the offense, I think the onus is on them now. They've turned extremely expensive. I think they were, I can't remember the number that they were on the Warren chart, but I think they were like something like 18th or something last year. Now they're the fifth most expensive because Purdy jumped quite a bit and things like that. Mm-hmm. To where this is a team that should be carried by the offense, even if they have some injuries. And so getting a top 10 defense to combine with that is a huge luxury and a win.
The youth on this team is on the defense. You might not think everybody's very good, but they're not very old. I know Bosa and Warner are getting up there, and Greenlaw's a vet as well, but look at that defensive line. There's youth on the defensive line. There's still youth in the secondary. There's a lot of youth in this defense, and it's funny that you say they should lean on the offense. They should, because those are the guys you're paying, but I actually think the defense – I think the defense is going to be really good this year. I really do. I hope I'm right. And, you know, maybe I'm, like I said, maybe those safeties will come back to bite us in the ass like they did a lot last year. But the more reports I hear from training camp, and because it's consistency too, right? If you hear these consistent things throughout camp, it's not just, oh, Jair Brown had one good practice. One good practice is fine, but that's not enough to convince me that something might actually be different this year. When you're hearing the secondary is playing better and guys like Renardo Green look so much better than they did last year. And then you hear Renardo Green talk and he's like, I love this scheme. This fits my strength. Friggin' Jair Brown got up to the podium and was like, Raheem is dope. He said, this is the most fun I've ever had. And I thought it was interesting too. He said, this scheme is like Steve Wilkes' scheme, which might scare people. But remember, Jair Brown played his best under Steve Wilkes. So again, Kool-Aid, perhaps I'm drinking it, but I'm with you. The defense is going to be much better, and I think they're going to be really good, not just better than the bag of crap we saw last year.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
My first one is going to be that Brock Purdy is going to score 30 touchdowns this season, combined passing and rushing. He's going to score 30. Now, that means he's going to play almost every week, which is not a given. But last year, he was putting up 2.5 touchdowns per game with a skeleton crew. 2.5 touchdowns per game would be 43 for the season. So even if he is not able to sustain last year's pace, he still can very easily get over 30 touchdowns this year. I think he's going to do it. I think the defense is probably going to put him in some better spots, maybe with some short fields and things like that, to where he's not going to have to drive 75 yards down the field every time. He might be able to get some cheapies, if you know what I'm saying. So put me down for Brock Purdy, at least 30 total touchdowns this year.
Am I allowed to do a Brock Purdy one, but a different statistic?
Yes.
Very related? Okay.
Hold on. I'll save that one. Do you agree with my 30 touchdowns?
Yeah, I think it's quite likely. I'm more confident that he'll be healthy this year. I think last year's injury was a really just kind of one-off thing, and it didn't have to do much with other injuries that he's had in his past. So I'm more confident, I'll say this, I'm more confident on him playing every game than any other player that had a bunch of injuries last year.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yes, I agree. If he plays 17 games, he's getting 30 touchdowns.
People,
especially with having red zone targets now with Mike Evans.
The people in the chat, or at least one, I should say, R. Jeffrey, is saying the 30 is low by me. I just want to remind you, only four guys last year threw for at least 30 touchdowns. There were a couple more that had 30 combined when you include passing and rushing. It's not that many. 30 touchdowns is a damn good year. And if you ask me right now if I could take 30 or roll the dice this year, I would absolutely take 30 touchdowns from Brock Purdy.
There's only been I think, 9 seasons in 49ers history with 30. I think Montana did it twice. I could be wrong on these numbers. These are not ones I'm as confident as usual on. But I think Montana did it twice. Steve Young did it 4 times. Garcia did it twice, I think. And Purdy's done it once.
It's not easy to do. And I would take it happily, because I've seen the quarterback play from this position from the Niners struggle to reach 30. And it was frustrating. So I think at least 30. Now, he could do more than 30. I'm saying 30 is the floor.
Yeah, well, I think if he plays 17, he stands a good chance of breaking the team record on passing touchdowns, which I want to say is 38.
I think it's 36.
Is it 36?
I know it's Steve Young.
Yeah.
It was 36, yep, in 98. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he had 20 last year, and he played, what, 9 games? Mm-hmm. So you nearly double that to get his total, because he had 8 games that he didn't get to play. And plus the 9 games includes the games that he got hurt in, which I guess he finished the first game that he got hurt in, the second game. Or no, he did finish the second game as well. So 9 full games. Yeah. So you got 40 touchdowns. If you double it, you're not going to quite double it. You're looking at 37, 38 was the pace that he was on just last year. So I think that's very likely. And the related one that I'm going to use as my second draft pick is that he's going to reset the franchise passing yards record and be the first quarterback on the team to have 4,500 yards in a season.
Wow. Okay. So let me
Basically, I'm saying he's not going to lightly break it.
Just doing some quick math here. That would be 265 yards a game, basically. Are you saying?
I think they're going to be passing a lot this year.
Is he passing that much because the running game still stinks, or is it just that damn good?
Mixture of both. I think the running game will be a little bit better than last year, but I think it has a lot to do with better receivers and Purdy hitting a new level, where it's Shanahan kind of views it as, instead of I always want the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hand because I'm so confident in him, it's I want Purdy making the decisions because I'm so confident in him.
That's interesting. I wonder, like, has Shanahan's sort of faith in McCaffrey been shaken? Has it been like, all right.
It should be if he reviews the rushing video from last year. Like, McCaffrey, it wasn't just blocking. It was McCaffrey was also not following blocks. I mean, I was pointing that out the whole first half of the season. I think the second half he got better. Something changed. I don't know if he found his groove or what, but the first half of the season, he was literally running into the back of his lineman when there was a hole next to them. He was just blindly going, this is where it's supposed to go, so I'm going to go there.
Kyle should do that, by the way. Kyle should run the offense through his quarterback, not through the running back, not through a wide receiver in Deebo Samuel. It should run through your quarterback. This isn't year one or year two with Brock Purdy. He has earned that. Let him have the offense go through him. He's got to be the engine. And by the way, he's the youngest guy on the offense too, right? Christian McCaffrey, 30. George Kittle, 32. Mike Evans is going to be 33. Deebo Samuel's 30. You want the offense to run through the youngest guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's linemen that are younger than him, but
But
those are often not counted when you're talking offense.
All right, my next one. No San Francisco 49ers player will reach 1,000 receiving yards this season.
That was my backup if you weren't going to count Purdy.
What do you mean?
I was going to sub in if you weren't going to count Purdy's passing yards because you win touchdowns.
Yeah.
I was going to go, nobody gets 1,000 yards.
I think that Evans will be a great red zone player, and I think he'll score. I could easily see him going for 10 to 12 touchdowns this year. I don't think he's going to be a yardage monster, which is fine. I don't necessarily think you need him to be. Everybody knows I was all in on Pearsall. I thought Pearsall could have had 1,200 yards receiving this year with him out. I think they're going to distribute the ball yardage-wise to anybody to get down the field. I don't think they have a dependable number two wide receiver where you're going to say that guy's going to get a majority of the targets. I think it's going to be spread out amongst Stribling and DeMarcus Robinson and Deebo and maybe Jordan Watkins or whoever the hell else they put on this roster. and no one's getting 1,000 yards. Christian McCaffrey won't do it. George Kittle is not going to get 1,000. It's just going to be receptions by committee.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. You got a running back that's going to siphon a lot of yards for starters. You got a good tight end also, assuming Kittle comes back and has a healthy season. And then you have wide receivers that, do you really trust them to stay healthy? One, Debo's only done it once, so if you're thinking he's going to suddenly do it again, I think it's misguided, especially if he's going to be returning kicks, which means there will be plays that he's not in for that will be passes. But then Evans, you know, let's say you think he's going to get 1,200 yards, right? You think he's a 1,200-yard receiver still, put it that way. Okay, he's got to play 14 or more games or 15 or more games in order to get that at that pace. If he's a 1,200-yard caliber receiver still, that's just over 70 yards per game. If he misses three games, he's right under 1,000.
Yeah. That's a nice long-winded way of saying I'm right.
That I agree. There's a reason why it was on my list that I would sub in if you took mine.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean the 49ers can't have a great passing attack, by the way.
I literally think that they're going to blow away the yards record for the quarterback. I just think that there's so many people, and I also think Purdy is not one that usually locks into a receiver.
I agree with that, although what I like about Evans is sort of what I liked about Debo back in the day, which is like there's going to be a time at some point this season during one play, during one drive, whatever it is, where Kyle calls the wrong play or the defense has it sniffed out or somebody screws up their block and Brock just kind of has to chuck it up. They got a guy in Mike Evans that can just flat out go and make a play. And I feel like last year they were so scheme dependent that they didn't have that as much as we had seen in years past. And that's what Debo was 2021. It was short pass to Debo, break six tackles. Doesn't matter what call the defense is in. Doesn't matter if they read the play. Doesn't matter nothing. Because Debo ain't going down and we're getting 50 yards down the field. Evans, to me, still has that kind of play, that kind of ability in him. And that's something that they haven't had. And I am super excited by that.
Yeah, I mean, we could see a different kind of Purdy. Because I don't think he's ever had a wide receiver of the caliber of, I'm just going to force it to him anyways, because I trust him to either make the catch or make sure nobody else catches it. Mm-hmm. And Evans could be that type of receiver, so we could see it force him. But I would actually be fascinated to see. This is not an easy statistic to go find, so not going to be one I'm going to be able to ever find. But what is the fewest amount of targets for the season leader of a team over like the last five seasons? I would bet the Niners are close to the bottom, if not at the bottom, because the high, I think, is either Ayuk or Debo, and it's like in the 120s. Most teams, your number one receiver is getting like 130 plus. And the Niners, I don't think, have had anybody have 130 plus. I'm not even sure in the Shanahan era. I can't think of anybody that has in the Shanahan era, but certainly not under Purdy. Because Ayuk didn't do it, I know that, and I know Debo didn't do it, and Kittle has never done it either.
And it was partly because, number one, they run the ball so much, but number two, when they do pass it, particularly in the last few years, they were gaining so many yards that you didn't have as many targets because they were picking up chunk yardage and chunk plays, and so they literally weren't running as many plays, so there were less opportunities that way too. But yeah, it's a good point. It's got to be... honestly, I would be interested to see what is the highest number of targets Shanahan's given any wide receiver in any year that he's had. I imagine it was a Julio Jones year in Atlanta.
Yeah, that Julio Jones, I mean, he had 1,500 yards under Shanahan, so.
Yeah, but it's usually not that high. We'll see if that changes this year, but I doubt it. All right, what do you got for number three?
Number three is a pretty simple one. They win 10-plus games.
All right.
I don't see how you could not think that this is happening if they had the amount of injuries they had last year and they still won 10-plus games.
People are going to say the schedule is harder this year. Number one, we don't know that. Right now, we think it is, but obviously we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think they're winning 10. I mean, in my official prediction, I think I had them winning 11. So... yeah. If they lose less than, or if they win less than 10, I'll be disappointed, even with some injuries.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that Can they lose less than 10? Yeah, or can they win less than 10? Yeah, there's always that possibility. I just think in terms of confidence of winning 10 plus games, they're as high as any other team because they just did it with one of the most injury prone or riddled seasons any team's had in recent years because they had so many starters out. The quarterback only played half the games, mm-hmm. and yet they still were able to win 10 plus games. And the big argument that people like to point to is, well, look at the division they're in. Yeah, the division was great last year too. All three of those teams were in the running for the number one seed with 2 weeks to go. So that hasn't changed either. So I just think that in terms of likelihood, I'm willing to say it definitely happens.
Ryan Jones says Debo had 121 targets in 2021, but with the Niners, he only got 94 after that.
Yep.
Oh, 2021. What a year. Bo Adams, thank you for the 200 joules. Appreciate you. I have one more that's my boldest one yet, Levin. I don't know.
Before you go to your last one, can I just say if the Niners don't win 10, my bold part of that is it should absolutely be John Lynch's last year running the show.
Interesting.
Did you see the return on draft capital in the Warren Sharp preview for the 49ers?
It's not great.
It's much worse than that. It was the last 4 years, not counting obviously this year, because we don't know what rookies are doing. It was 31st, 32nd, 31st, then 32nd. Like they are quite literally by far easily the worst drafting team over the last 4 years. So if they don't make the playoffs and they lose, they don't get the 10 wins this season, I think you have to say something has to change here. The drafting is too bad.
Kyle ultimately is, responsible because he has the final say, but I think he defers a lot of the time, but I just don't know if Kyle will let that happen or if he'll say, you got to get rid of both of us. I know he's very close with John Lynch, or will he let John Lynch take the fall? And will he go that route? I don't know.
Here's the thing. If you're the owner in that situation and that's Kyle's reaction, you say, okay, you're under contract. So Lynch is not going to be in his current role. I'm not necessarily saying fire him. You can elevate him and have somebody else take over. Yep. You know what I'm talking about. And I think that would be something that I wouldn't be opposed to either. Mm-hmm. Letting him just not be so much in control of the roster, but be, I guess I would almost call it a mascot. He's somebody that can pick up the phone and get somebody on the phone type of role. And looks moreover helping with budget and things like that. Maybe with extensions, but not with drafting, not with free agencies and final say on roster and things like that. I think you take that away from Lynch. And if Shanahan says, well, then you got to get rid of me too, the reaction should be, no, I don't. You're under contract. Your contracts are not a pairing together. So either you cannot coach or we're going to move on from Lynch.
It will be a promotion rather than a firing, I believe. It'll be he's going to move into, like, I don't even know what they would call him. They can't call him team president because somebody else has that role. Whatever, they'd make up a role for him. But hopefully it doesn't come to that because I can't stomach that this year. I need it. I need playoff football in my life one more time.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this.
All right, my last thing that I am putting my flag in the ground and saying is going to happen this year. It is the boldest take of anybody that's had on the show tonight. The 49ers will get a return touchdown this season. They haven't had a kick return touchdown since 2018 when Richie James did it, and they haven't had a punt return touchdown in 15 years. Since 2011, when Ted Ginn did it against the Seahawks, it's going to happen this year, Levin. Maybe it's Debo on a kick return since he's going to be the kick returner now, or whoever the hell they put back there at punts, Junior Bergen, since he has sort of stepped up. But I am saying it. The streak ends this year.
This is one of those predictions that you don't really get any credit if you're right.
What do you mean? Because
there's literally no reason to make that prediction. There's no substance for you to say this is why.
So I don't.
It's hopium.
I don't think it's a coincidence that they had their best year for a returner in years when Brant Boyer was here last year. I think he's part of it. I think the special teams will be better. Debo is a good returner. We've seen that already. I think it's going to happen this year. Brant Boyer said the other day that they're ahead of the game in terms of players learning the scheme on special teams. I cannot believe it's been so long. The number one movie, the last time the 49ers had a punt return touchdown, was Harry Potter 2. Those kids are married and have kids of their own, I think, at this point.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
Harry Potter 2. I've introduced those movies to my kid in like very recent, like this summer break. Right. I haven't gone all the way through them. She's watched the first four. She's only six, and I think five, six, and seven are a little much.
A little darker.
Yeah. I mean, she got to the point that Cedric Diggory is killed, and that was kind of like, okay, everything after this is death, so we're going to stop at this one for a little while.
Spoilers, Levin. God.
Oh, yeah.
But
sorry, I guess you know what's going to happen in the TV show now.
I mean, I looked it up and I was like, is that real? Like, can that be real? How? I just can't believe it hasn't happened. Like, some defense has a guy fall down and the 49ers take advantage of it, right? Or just something stupid happens. Another team has 10 guys on the field, right? Like, some weird quirk. And you would think that would have gone our way. And instead, it hasn't happened. I think it's got to happen this year. When Sky Moore was running down the field, I want to say it was against Arizona. I think it was the opening kickoff against the Cardinals. And he breaks into the open field, and I was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he's not scoring a touchdown. And lo and behold, he gets tackled at like the 2-yard line. I think they scored on the next play. But it was like, you feel like it's never going to happen, but I'm breaking that curse this offseason. Damn it.
Like I said, it's a hopium. I'm fine if you want to feel like that happens. But if it happens, it's not like, see, I knew that was going to happen. You had no way of knowing that was going to happen.
My genius will not be questioned. If I get this right, you're
it's
never
questioned every show.
You'll never hear the end of it if I get it right. And if it's wrong, I will never bring it up again.
I can't wait. I mean, at least that's something that I would be not opposed to hearing all the time.
I should check
at least the first time when it first happens.
I should check and see if that's something you can put a pick on. I doubt it is, but it's just become
a thing.
You
can probably pick a player and have a return touchdown.
Yes, that's true. But then I'd have to go like game by game, maybe. But
yeah, maybe.
It's just been so long. I would venture to say that the Niners have the longest drought. It has to be. I can't imagine
for sure.
There's a team. I mean,
I would imagine it's the longest drought in NFL history since kickoff returning really became a thing.
I know the Buccaneers had a long kickoff return drought at one point. Their streak was snapped years ago. I'm going to look into that because now I'm curious, and that's going to just be rattling around my brain. Figure it out. But all right. So my big three predictions that are going to happen this year is Brock Purdy's going to score at least 30 touchdowns. No one will have 1,000 receiving yards, and Niners will get a return touchdown, either kick return or punt return touchdown this year. Your big three predictions for this year were?
Oh, you're going to make me remember now?
The defense will be better.
Yeah. I was forgetting the first one. Defense will be better. They win 10-plus games, and Purdy sets the yards record and goes for over 4,500.
Man, Brock Purdy, that would be a feather in Brock Purdy's cap to be like, I've been the starter for 5 years, and I set the franchise passing record in two of those five.
Yeah, and the retort to that is, yeah, in the other years that you didn't set it, it was because you were hurt.
Yeah. Two things can be true, as we like
to say. I mean, with the 17th game now, the Niners' yards record is so low that any quarterback starting 17 games in a season should set this record. And if they don't, they shouldn't have been starting all 17 games.
Well, Brock did it in 16 games, though.
I know. That's why it would be over 4,500 if he played 17.
Right, because that year he threw for 267 yards per game, which is basically what he would need to get to what you said, 4,500. One of us touched his interception number. Do you think he throws double-digit interceptions this year?
Double-digit? Sure.
Do you think
he's that type of quarterback, but you live with it because he has so many big ones. He's not the type of quarterback that's going to have, you know, 35 touchdowns to six interceptions. He's not that type. He's somebody that he takes risks. So that means, yes, if he starts 17 games, you're going to have a quarterback with 30-plus touchdowns, one of, you know, only a handful that do it a year. But you're going to have to live with having, you know, somewhere 10 to 15 interceptions.
Honestly, if he had 17 interceptions, I wouldn't flip out as long as he only had one a game. Because I feel like if he throws one in a game, you can overcome that. You can still win. It's usually, I feel like with Brock, if he throws one, he's going to throw another one.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it this way. I'm okay with a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio if you're throwing for 30 plus a season. Mm-hmm. If you're throwing for 20 and you still throw 10 interceptions, not good enough, because it means you're still throwing interceptions despite playing it safe all the time. But if you're scoring 30 plus touchdowns, it means you're putting up a bunch of points, and those interceptions, while not good, don't come nearly, they don't come back to haunt you nearly as much, because you're responding to, ooh, I threw an interception, but then I scored two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, and that more than balances it out in your favor. When you're only scoring one touchdown a game,
yes,
and you're still throwing a touchdown more often than not in games, which would be the 20 to 10 example, that's not good enough.
More 49ers Gold Standard podcast after this. Now, without further commercial interruption, the conclusion of this episode of the 49ers Gold Standard podcast.
I completely agree. That was the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing, was like, he's turning the ball over, but we're not getting the touchdowns. Matthew Stafford was turning the ball over in 2021, but he led the league in touchdown passes, so you didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, Garoppolo was a, you know, somewhere between 23 and 28 touchdowns, and he was going to have somewhere between 10 and 13 interceptions. And it's like, yeah, you're not taking the risks, yet you're still giving us risk on the defensive end.
The biggest risk was when you took a seven-step drop for a variety of reasons. But all right. Well, I like that. That was a fun episode. I like the predictions. You know, I know it's training camp and there's stuff going on, but for the 49ers, the biggest story of training camp to this point is the injuries, which we talked about, and the Kyle Shanahan thing, which luckily, and again, this is not a guarantee of, you know, what happened yesterday doesn't guarantee what's going to happen tomorrow, but we continue to hear how he has been out there for longer and longer stretches of time, how he has continued to do more and more. The coaches say when they talk to him and they're breaking down tape with him, he seems like the same old guy for the most part. All that stuff is super encouraging, because that's the most important injury of any of in the 49ers organization right now.
Yeah. Yeah, good show. I think I'm going to have to go, because my kid was watching a movie in the vehicle with the wife, because we have a tablet in there. And I just heard them get out of the vehicle, so I have a feeling they're about to burst in.
All right. Well, get back to it. I'll see you on Saturday when you are here at my house and we do our live show.
Sounds good.
Levin Black, everybody. Thank you very much, Levin. We greatly appreciate it. Don't end the stream, Levin. Don't end the stream. I know you like to do that when you bounce out early. Please don't. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you, everybody. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you haven't done so already, if this is your first time checking us out, thank you very much. We're live every single weekday. We're live after every single Niners game as well. Give us a chance. I promise you, you will like what you see. Want to give a shout out to all our Golden Ticket members, as we always do. Thank you to all our YouTube channel members, the Gold Good as Gold members, the Golden Ticket members. Your support means everything to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The fact that I have to keep updating this graphic is a tribute to you, and I always appreciate it. I will never, ever, ever take it for granted. You allow me to put food on the table for my family. I can't tell you what that means to me. So thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with a film breakdown of Deebo Samuel last year with the Commanders. What does he have left in the tank? What can we expect from the 49ers? I'll be live with Johnny Dell, breaking that all down, 10 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow. Make sure you catch that. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk tomorrow.